Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Psalm 62 this morning. If you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read a few of these verses to you and give you a little thought out of here with the help of the Lord this morning. The Bible said in verse number 1 of Psalm 62, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah." The Bible said in verse number 5, "My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Now, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, God, for this privilege and this honor, God, to be able to stand this morning and to be able to preach, God, to Father, be able to proclaim your name. God, you know the need of this service today, and I pray, God, that, Lord, through your word this morning, God, that we would find help and we would find comfort, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use me this morning as your messenger, God. Lord, may I only say the things, God, that you'd have us to say. God, if there'd be anybody here lost today, I pray that you'd save them. Anybody here out of your will, I pray, God, that you'd bring them back close to you today. God, I pray, Lord, that we would find comfort for the storms of this life through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses for just a little while and preach on this thought with the help of the Lord. Surviving the storms of life. When you come to Psalm 62, you'll find that it is divided out into three major parts. There's the salvation of God in verses 1 through 4, the security in God in verses 5 through 8, and the sovereignty of God in verses 9 through 12. In these verses this morning, we'll find that there is another psalm that goes hand in hand with Psalm 62, and that is Psalms 39. Whenever we study it out, we know that the writer here is the psalmist David. It is David, the king of Israel, as he writes to us here in Psalm 62. One thing that I really like to do, especially in studying the Psalms, is to find out the history behind the Psalms. What is David talking about here? What is David going through? What is the timeline of Psalm 62? Whenever we study it out, we'll find that David is definitely in a major storm in his life. There's times that we have, can I say it this way, we have bumps in the road. We have little storms that come our way. We have a little bit of rain, but then there is times in our life that we are faced with major storms, or we are faced with super storms in our life. Can I illustrate it from Acts 27 this morning? Whenever we we go to Acts 27 and begin to study Paul's life in Acts 27. There was a time in Paul's life in the beginning of Acts 27 that it began to rain a little bit. But by the end of Acts 27, Euryclidon had hit them. That was a storm that was named in Acts 27. Now, probably around this evening late, we're probably going to have a thunderstorm. That thunderstorm that's coming through here, as far as I know, is not named right now. But if it was big enough, if it was major enough, you know what would happen? They would name that storm. If David could give us an illustration that way this morning, I believe that David would name this psalm or this storm that he is in Psalm 62. Matter of fact, David would probably name this storm Absalom. If you know your Bible, you know that David has a son and his name is Absalom. Whenever we go back and we begin to think about the sweet psalmist of Israel and we begin to think about David, the first thing I'm sure that comes to our mind is a teenage boy facing Goliath one day on the battlefield. Of course, God gives David the victory that day. And on, the legacy of David begins to grow. But when we come right here, yes, David is the king of Israel. Yes, David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. But when we come right here in Psalm 62, we'll find out that his own son has rebelled against him, that Ahithophel, wouldn't you like to have had a name like that? I sure am glad that Mom and Dad didn't name me Ahithophel. Ahithophel Allen Barker. I like Jonathan a whole lot better. But anyway, some of y'all complain about your name. It could have been Jezebel. Are you with me? It could have been Ahithophel. But listen, Ahithophel was one of David's best advisors, one of David's closest friends. And you know what happens right now? I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. You know what happens right here? Absalom turns Ahithophel against David. And now they are trying to overtake the kingdom from David. Matter of fact, you know what ends up happening? David has to run away from the kingdom. Part of the people are faithful to David. Part of the people are faithful to Absalom and Ahithophel. And David is not in a little thunderstorm in his life. David is in a major storm in his life. Can I remind you of something? The Bible said this about David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that loved God. David was a man that was serving God. Nobody else in the history has had that said about him, that they was a man after God's own heart. David wrote Psalm 62 that I just read to you this morning. David is a man that loves God. But now David finds himself in a storm in his life. I've said this many times, but let me say it again this morning. How many times do we have this false assumption in our mind? Now that we're saved and we're in church and we're trying to serve God, we tithe, we give to missions, we go knock on doors, we help when anything needs to be done around the church, and we think because of that, that nothing bad is ever going to come our way. That we're never going to be faced with any storm in our life. Hear me and hear me well. I may have came to church this morning not in a storm, but I may have a phone call as soon as service is over and be in the biggest storm of my life. Does that mean that God is not being good to me? Absolutely not. God is still good. Storms in our life. I'll ask you this question. Have you ever been at that place? Maybe, just maybe, it wasn't that your family turned against you. Maybe it was. I think one of the saddest things is this: family feuds. Somebody give me an amen right there. I think that's one of the saddest things is family feuds. I was talking to Miss Tina yesterday, and you all know Miss Tammy is her sister that's battling cancer. And Miss Tina was talking about losing her mom and her dad, and now her sister being sick with cancer. And here's what she said: you better enjoy the time that you have with your family, preacher. Can I say something to you? Maybe it is that our family's turned against us. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's just a personal issue that you're dealing with in your life. Preacher, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I can say this in 15 years of pastor, and I've heard that statement from different people sitting in this room. But look around, you're still sitting here. We have made it. How do we survive the storms of this life? How do we survive when the phone call comes that our loved one was involved in an accident? How do we survive when the knock comes on our door, as I've had to do numerous times over the past 15 years, and say, hey, I'm sorry to inform you, but your family member has just been killed in an accident or has just been found dead. How do we make it through that? I believe in Psalm 62 this morning. We can figure out how to survive the storms of life. Number one, let me move quickly. I was thinking about this. We didn't have the choir singing, so that gives me an extra 15 minutes to preach today. Brother Stan said amen and nobody else. Number one, watch this. Number one, I'm usually just now getting ready to preach, man. Number one, preacher, how do I make it? Look what the Bible said in verse number one. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. Now, I don't know about anybody else in this room. I do know about a few of y'all. But there is a word that I just read that I do not like. Can anybody guess what that word is? What? Man, I felt like there was all kinds of rocks just thrown at me. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, truly my soul waiteth upon God. Say, preacher, how am I going to make it through this storm? Number one, you're going to have to learn to wait patiently. You can wait and not wait patiently. Are you with me? This week, the Lord allowed us to get away for a few days. And if you've never been to the Creation Museum and if you've never been to the Ark, they need to go, don't they, Brother Jim? It is amazing. The Ark just blowed my mind. I could not believe how big it was. But anyway, we come out from the Ark and was going to grab something to eat. And we stopped by a restaurant that was supposed to be a fast food restaurant. Did y'all catch all of that? There was supposed to be a fast food restaurant. And I stood there, and Brother Matt, after about 10 minutes, and nobody had even come to the counter. I had waited, but it wasn't patiently. So you know what I'd done? I just walked right back out the door, and I went to Arby's across the road, and evidently it was the Lord's will because they give us way more food than we even ordered. The Lord was looking after us. Amen. But you know what he says? Here's what the psalmist says. When he's in probably, quite possibly, the largest storm of his life, the psalmist said this, I will wait patiently on the Lord. I will wait patiently. I've called my dad before, and you all know my dad is my hero. He was my pastor for right at 40 years. And 2 years ago, he joined our church, and now I get to be his pastor. But I'll call Dad, and I'll say, Dad, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with that, or Dad, this is going on in my life, and I just don't know what to do. And you know what he'll always say? You better pray a whole lot and move real slow. You better pray a whole lot and move real slow. I still call him and ask him, even though I know exactly what he's going to say. If I say I don't know what to do, he'll say, you better pray a whole lot and move real slow. And then he'll always say this, when you don't know what to do, you better not do nothing. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. When the storms of this life hit us, we need to learn to wait patiently upon the Lord. This storm that David is in, as I've already stated, is because of Absalom turning against him. David has numerous enemies right here. Look in verse number 3 and verse number 4. It shows us three ways that the enemy attacked him. There's violence in verse number 3. How long will you imagine mischief? There's deliberation. They only consult to cast him down. There's falsehood. They delight in lies. You know what David could have done? David could have retaliated out of anger and probably even lost the respect of the others that was standing behind him because he was retaliating against his own family. But you know what David says? I'm just going to wait patiently. Boy, that's good preaching and hard living. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on, watch this. How could David wait patiently? How could he pull the reins back, Brother Lloyd? How could he say, no, I'm not going to retaliate? Watch this. Because the Lord was his provider. Look in verse number 1 again. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He knew that his provider was in the Lord. He knew that it was God that had brought him this far, and he knew that it was God that would take him the rest of the way. The Lord is our provider today. How many times do we think that we have to take matters into our own hands, that we have to take care of it? And here's what I've found out in my life. When I take them into my hands, it's going to get, I hope you understand this, gommed up. It's going to be a big mess. David knew that the Lord was his provider, but David not only knew that the Lord was his provider, that's the reason he could wait patiently, but because the Lord was his protector. Look in verse number 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defender. I shall not be greatly moved. You know what he was saying? He's saying, I can wait on God. I can trust in the Lord because God is my provider, but God is also my protector. It is God that protects me in the areas of this life. We have to learn to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The Lord is my protector. On Monday, we went to the Creation Museum, and there was this 4D or 3D or 8D or something of the show that you could watch. And we went in there and watched it. I'm sure y'all probably did. We went in there and watched that. And it was the 6 days of creation. And I was blown away. I have read it before, but I'm a visual person. I like to see it. And I know that it was not just like God did it. I know that we can't duplicate that, but my soul, it was amazing. And darkness was upon the face of the earth, and everything was darkened there. And then it lightened one time, and whenever it did, I'm pretty sure I screamed. And the way that God made everything, and the trees come up from the ground, and man started walking about, and Eve, and wow. Read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. My soul, if God can do that, are you hearing me? If God can do, I'm talking about the Lord is our protector. If God can do that, don't you think he can take care of you? If God can be in the bottom of a boat, asleep on a pillow, and the disciples think they're going to die, and Jesus, you said God. Yeah, because God and Jesus is the same person. In the beginning, God, study that out. It's uniplurality. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, a triune Godhead. If Jesus could be asleep in the bottom of a ship on a pillow and the storm be raging outside and step out and say, peace be still, and everybody come out of it, okay, don't you think God can take care of you? David said, if I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to learn to wait patiently. Number 2, David said, if I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to learn to walk prayerfully. I'm going to have to learn to walk prayerfully. I thought about that verse, pray without ceasing. I thought about, and you've heard me say this, give this illustration a few weeks ago about Dad when we done that 21-day Daniel fast, all of us, or a lot of us at the church did back a couple years ago, and Dad saying, I'm trying my best for those 21 days to walk in the spirit of prayer. You know what he was saying? He was saying, everything that I do, everywhere I go, I'm trying my best to have a relationship with the Lord where we're talking to each other. Can I say something to you today? If we're going to make it through the storms of life, what did he say in verse number 8? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. That word Selah right there is a musician's term. And it means this. It means stop and ponder on what was just sung. Stop and think about what was just sung. We know that these were psalms that were sung as they went to the house of God. And you know what the psalmist is saying? He's saying this, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Here's the reason we can. God is a refuge for us. You ever had something on your mind and you thought about praying about it, but then you thought within yourself, well, I just don't need to talk about God, to God about that. God probably don't need to hear about that. Am I the only one? God, that's just, you know, that's nonchalant. That's nothing to God. I don't need to talk to God about that. Time out just a minute. Time out just a minute. Is God not an omnipotent God? Does God not know past time, present time, future time, all at the same time? Do you remember whenever he healed several of the people, that he turned to the scribes and the Pharisees and said, I know what you're thinking. They never even had to say nothing because he knew it already. Hear me and hear me well. God knows what's in our heart. God knows what we're faced with. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He already knows it. So why don't we pour our heart out to him with it? We're going to have to learn to walk prayerfully in the storms of life. Here's one thing that I've found out about me, Miss Dawn. Now, I'm sure you're probably not this way. But when I'm in a storm, I react to things quicker. If I'm facing something, Brother Tim comes up jokingly and says something, but I'm in the middle of a big storm, I may just lash back quickly and react to that because I'm in a storm. Come on, somebody help me. But the Bible said this, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You react out of the lust of the flesh. When you're walking in the Spirit, walking in what? Prayer. You're going to be a whole lot more sensitive to what you say, to the way you react. You know what David said? David said, hey, here's the way that I'm going to make it. I'm going to walk prayerfully. You remember the story of Job in the Bible? Job was a very interesting man to study. Job chapter number 1, Job was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a man that was faithful to God. Job was a man living for God. If you want to preach it in our dispensation, he was going to the house of God. He was always there. He was faithful, Miss Regina. But God allowed the storm to come to Job's life. God allowed that to happen. And when Satan got down there, Satan practically takes everything away from him. His wife says, curse God and die. And when we find him in chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, it's verse 8. You know where Job is sitting at? He's sitting in the ash pile. That's where he's sitting at. That day, there was two places that was common for ashes to be. Number one, it was common for it to be around an altar where a burnt sacrifice had been made to the Lord. And number two, it was common for it to be outside of the city gate at the dunghill where they burnt all the waste. Now, we know according to the Bible that Job has boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And when we find him in the ash pile, he has a part shred and he's scraping those boils. Now, can I say something to you? If I've got boils all over me, the last place that I'm going to go set is a dunghill. Time out. If I don't have boils all over me, the last place I'm going to go set is a dunghill. That's where the ashes was at. It's where all the waste of the city was burned. But there was one other place that Job may have been. You remember in chapter number 1 what Job did? Job made sacrifice for his children. That Old Testament altar, that Old Testament time where he communed with God, where he had fellowship with God. You want me to tell you where I think Job is at? Whenever we get to Job chapter number 2, verse number 8, I believe he is sitting at the altar, the last place that he's heard from God, trusting that he'll patiently hear from God again. Preacher, how am I going to make it through this storm? You're going to have to wait patiently. You're going to have to walk prayerfully. But then can I say this in closing? How did David make it? He worshiped passionately. He worshiped passionately. He said, Preacher, I thought you was talking about storms. I am. Preacher, I thought you was talking about going through hard times. I am. Well, why are you talking about worship in the middle of hard times? Because that's exactly what David done. David worshiped passionately. Look what he said in verse number 6. He repeats verse number 2 again in verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. David, in the midst of his storm, decides that he will worship in his storm. It's real easy to say, boy, the Lord sure is good to me when there's beans and taters on the table. It's easy to say, God sure is good when we're sitting here and all of our family's in health. Can somebody give me a witness this morning? It's real easy to say, God has blessed me when everything is, well, we say it like this around here some of the times. When everything is hakuna matata, no worries. It's real easy. But David, come start playing softly. In the midst of a rebellious child turning against him, not just turning against him, turning part of a nation against him, trying to overtake his kingdom and overthrow him from the throne that God had placed him on. You know what David says? I'm still just going to trust in you, Lord. I'm still just going to praise you, God. How could David worship in that? It required persistence. Look in verse 6. It's a repetition from verse 2. He only is my rock. It required perspective in verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. David had to come to a place where he put everything in perspective, and here's what he says. God's the one that brought me here. God is the one taking care of me while I'm here. And God will be the one that takes me out of here and home to be with him one day when it's all over. So until then, I'm just going to worship you, Lord. I'm just going to magnify you, Lord. Preacher, how do I make it? You have to wait patiently. You have to learn to walk prayerfully. There's probably some people sitting here this morning that there was a time in your life that you did not have what you have today. There's probably some people sitting here today that there was a time in your life that maybe you did what you have what you have today, but you lost it. Due to different circumstances, the storms of life, you lost it. And you know what that drove you to do? That drove you to have a stronger relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it drove you to an altar in prayer. And you know what God done because you waited patiently and walked prayerfully? You sat today blessed more than you've ever been blessed before. So you know, let me tell you what we better take time to do. We better take time to say, Lord, I sure do appreciate that. God, thank you that you didn't leave me where I was at. God, thank you you didn't leave me in the mess that I was in. God, thank you that you didn't leave me on the road that I was on. But in your loving kindness, through the storm, brought me back to where I'm at today. The storm will do one of two things in your life, church. It'll make you bitter, or it'll make you better. That's what the storm will do to you. And I want to say this, with the help of God, when the storms come my way, I want to wait patiently. I want to walk prayerfully. And I want to worship passionately, because everything that I have, everything that I am, everything that I ever will have is all from the good hand of an almighty God. God has never done me wrong. God has never failed me. God has never left me high and dry to myself. God has always, through every storm, through every heartache, through every valley, through every death situation, through losing family members, through losing friends, through every bit of it, God has remained faithful to me. He's never done me wrong. He's all, hey, you say, preacher, you just don't understand what's happening in my life. God's still good. And until we can come to the point that we realize that, and until we can come to the point that we can worship in our storm, God may not bring us out of our storm. God may just leave you there until you learn to worship in it. Can I say this? Through every storm, He's made me a better Christian. I'll never forget. I'll never forget Leslie and I got married many years ago now. Over 20 years ago. We went with Rock of Ages as missionaries, and I'm right now done. We went with Rock of Ages as missionaries. Leslie had a really good job at the hospital. There used to be a hospital in Yadkinville. Leslie had a really good job. She was over all the dietary there. I had a really good job at a company in Winston. I was over their returns department and was over part of their maintenance. And we was both making good money. And we was going to work there for a while, Brother Dakota, until we got part of our support raised to go full-time with Rock of Ages. And I'll never forget, early one morning, about 4:30, I was headed up the road. That comes twice a day to some of y'all that don't know that. About 4:30 one morning, I was riding up the road going to work, and my phone rung. And when I looked down, it was the cell phone number of the director of HR. And usually at 4:30 in the morning, Brother Tim, if the director of HR at the hospital calls you at 4:30 in the morning, you might as well go back home and get in the bed. I said, well, hello. She said, Mr. Barker, I just wanted to let you know that your services is no longer needed. I said, all right, that company will go under before the sun goes down today. I knew how good of an employee I was. I went back home. Leslie was fixing to go out the door whenever I got back to go to work. I'll never forget, man, I was crying, and I told her, I said, they told me they didn't need me no more. Need me no more. I learned one thing from that. Going up in a company is not always good, because usually that's some of the first ones, especially when they create positions for you. That's like, you might be fixing to get fired in a few months. But anyway, I came home. I sat back down on the side of the bed. And I thought, how in the world are we going to make it? How in the world are we going to make it? Well, Matthew, I just started praying. And I said, Lord, you told us to do this. God, you know what's happening. God, I'm not a spiritual person, but I sure need you to help my unbelief right now. And can I look back over 22 years, He's never failed me. During that time, I pulled a fifth wheel camper. The last year we was on the road, I pulled a fifth wheel camper over 30,000 miles the last year we was on the road, and never put no tires on it. Never put no tires on the truck. I bought the truck and drove it for almost 50,000 miles and sold it for $2,000 cheaper. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but if you can drive a vehicle 50,000 miles for $2,000, you're doing pretty good in John's book. And I have no trouble with it. had one blowout the year before that on that trailer. And I put that one tire on that trailer. I didn't change all. I didn't have the money to. I put that one tire on it. Pulled it over 30,000 miles. You say, well, what a coincidence. No, that's learning to worship passionately in our storms and to wait patiently on God and to walk prayerfully. And I promise you, God will take care of you. God will. You say, I don't believe Him. I double dog dare you to try it and see what He'll do for you. We don't have to become bitter in this storm. We can survive the storms of life.